Today, January the 28th, has been no day of great achievement, but just one of those days of knitting up the tangled skein of family living that must be done. At 9:30, Linda Bird and Maura Lynn took a group of West Virginia students on a tour through the White House, which is one of those things that I dearly love to have Linda Bird help out with. Then I had a session with Robin Duke and her dressmaker, and couldn't help but thinking about Ed Clark's old line about, "Rich folks have such pretty ways," because the things he showed me were indeed lovely, and she, as a former editor of one of the sleek magazines, I think possibly Vogue, knows so much about it, dresses so well, is so sure in her touch. I looked at them, liked them, I'm going to buy one or two, and hope I can soon get clothes out of my life for the next 3 or 4 months. Then I had lunch in the room on trays with Linda and Maura Lynn. That she's a gentle sort of little soul that binds up everybody's wounds and tries to pat us all on the head at the same time. This household can use somebody like that. Susan has been on my mind a great deal lately, especially since her mother's called Sunday night. And because I wanted to know what was happening to her, I had called her up and asked her and her hostess, Mrs. John Hester, General Hester's wife, to come over and have tea with me. I wanted Mrs. Hester to feel that I was grateful for the sweet role she had played in the life of my brother's daughter, and I just wanted to give whatever little prestige and recognition there is to coming to the White House and being thanked by a member of the family. Susan looked lovely, 25 pounds or so less than she was last summer. She has now made up her mind, and this is about the fifth change in 5 weeks, to return to school in Louisiana, and she's going to leave tomorrow in a car. And I think dormitory life will probably be the best solution for her, although I urged her over and over to take typing, shorthand, any tool that you can exchange for a paycheck. Her life would be so much simpler if she could just walk into an office and say, Yes, I can do 120 words shorthand a minute and 60 words on the typewriter. And then she's bright enough to learn to compose the letters. But when all you have is just a BA education and no clear spearhead of an idea of what you want for a career, it's bad to have to make a living. We had a very pleasant hour together, seeing the house and having tea, and I left feeling that I had sort of done what I should about Susan, although never enough. In between, I called Mrs. Mellon, Miss Paul Mellon, who is responsible largely for the lovely, lovely flowers in this house, and it had been my fondest hope that she would come and have tea with me, just she alone, one day very soon. But my timing is not as good as my husband's. She had left only this morning to go down to the West or East Indies until March. So I asked her secretary to please let her know that I'd called. I hope I'll get around to writing her that sweet sort of letter that what she has done, the love and devotion she's poured into this place, deserves. Then Queen Frederica came to say goodbye in the late afternoon, accompanied by the mistress of the court, Robin Duke, and the young princess. We sat in the family sitting room quite informally and had sherry, and she gave me the most charming gift, a medal that was struck off for her 25th wedding anniversary, showing on one side the profiles of the king and the queen with Greek lettering around it, And then on the other side, the coat of arms of their country with 1938, 1963 on it, the years of their marriage. Thank heaven she didn't bring up Cyprus with me. Cyprus, unhappily, along with Vietnam and Panama, is my husband's diet these days, and that's why I must try to be both strong and humorous and understanding. Quite late in the evening, after I'd done a good deal more work with Ashton and a heavily loaded desk and a long talk with Warren Woodward, Lyndon came in, bringing with him Dolph Briscoe, and how delighted I was to see that man from the wide open far west Uvalde, Texas, where a few thousand acres is just a little stretch of country. And the Jack Brookses, they'd already had dinner, but they sat down at the table with us while Lyndon and I ate. And then we went down and saw a movie, 7 Days in May. Hardly inclined to put Lyndon at his ease, but at least a perfectly delightful evening's entertainment. The pictures about Warren moving in have been delightful, and the stories, all right, but not as good as they could have been if we had had the real cooperation of Linda Bird. Things come out pretty much all right with the press, I think, if you explain it quite simply, just exactly like you feel about it. Because I was out of the memo that